Welcome to Fashion Utopia, the only podcast that combines fashion, art, and psychology to help people attain self-actualization. Do you know that what you wear speaks volumes, serves as a representation of who you are as a person? Is it helping or hurting you? In this podcast, we approach all those questions and more with cutting-edge experts in the industry. I am your host, Kelly Dell, fashion journalist, founder, and image consultant at IMA Image Consulting. Welcome. This is the final episode of season one of Fashion Utopia. In this episode, we look back to the interviews that we've had, the wonderful guests, the information, and all the things that we've learned from having conversation with this industry expert. Please join me as we'll have a memory of all these wonderful conversations. The conversation about fashion psychology, fashion utopia, the way we feel when we dress, the perception that people have towards us when they see a certain clothes that we wear, how fashion is a tool for disseminating information, the exact way we feel when we embody a particular style, how fashion play a role in the society and our individual life. Please listen. In our first episode, we explored the art of fashion with our eclectic guest, Annie Temick. How would you describe the art of fashion?
Well, I think fashion can be such a complex word for so many people. And I think for me, I think of fashion both as the art of constructing and making something really beautiful. So there's an artfulness to choosing a fabric and right. constructing it in a certain way.
Right.
I also think that there is an artfulness to, your sense of identity and expression and how you use clothing to kind of communicate something with the outer world. And I think this can be very...
Wait a minute. We didn't just stop there. We went further because we know there is more to the art of fashion. Then we explored the science of fashion with our guest, Michael Kessel. So how would you describe the science of fashion and how it influences human behavior?
Mm-hmm. I think that to answer that question, the first thing we need to understand is how emotions are made mm-hmm. and why our brain thinks. And to quote Dr. Lisa Feldman Barrett, the main function of our brain is to be able to maintain an allostasis. And what allostasis means is essentially like body balance. It's a body budget. Constantly having dialogues with ourselves about the meaning of the things that we do and the meaning of the things that we wear. And by asking ourselves this question and then putting these colors and fabrics and items on our body, it sort of becomes part of that dialogue, right? It's an expression of that dialogue that we're having. And I think it's really important to know how to balance that out with the world economy and right. the space that we're in, so that even if we're having this ongoing dynamic dialogue,
right.
we can make choices that allow the items of clothing that we're wearing to be sustainable in our own lives,
right.
and sustainable within the entire world.
Right. Oh, wow. Thank you.
I think, a lot of times people have a certain notion of fashion as being, superficial or something that maybe they don't want to put too much time into, but I just think that fashion, like anything else, is it can become a part of us, and whether that's simple and clean lines or whether that's bright colors or monochrome, I think it's really telling a story, and I think that storytelling to me is where the art come to life. Yeah.
Yes. Interesting. Wait, that said, do you think fashion should be expensive, or what would you say to people that say, oh no, I cannot pull off fashion, I cannot get into the world of fashion because it's just so expensive? What would you say to that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, there are reasons why certain things are expensive, especially if something is made by a master craftsman and, design has gone. There are certainly reasons why things can be incredibly expensive, but I think in order to express yourself and to tell a good story, a lot of that is creativity and inventiveness. So whether you're picking something up from a thrift store for a few dollars and, even if you don't know how to sew, you can still combine pieces in interesting ways. And I think, it doesn't have to be complicated either. It's really about finding something that feels good for you.
So tell me, would you consider it fluid?
Sure. Yeah, I think I'm very inspired by like the full gender spectrum, and generally I think I'm working and thinking about materials before I'm thinking about gender. Though sometimes if I am designing for a man or a woman in particular, or you know, for a space in between, I think that that definitely affects the shapes that I use, and I think it's a really shifting conversation, you know, to say, well, why does this feel more masculine or more feminine, or why is this in between? I think it's just a conversation that's going to continue to change.
Floyd with Field MPS. So could you please share with the listener what you meant by fluid?
Definitely floating between genders. Not as like my body, not necessarily anymore, but like the clothes that I wear, I definitely mix it. I always have. It really comes down to whenever I couldn't find something that I wanted to wear, I would go to whatever gender I had to find it, you know? Even in like high school and stuff, like I got away with some like fashion shit. I don't know. I'm like a little embarrassed now because it was like way too much for these people, but they accepted me and I was in.
Why do you feel embarrassed though?
It's just because it was a lot for those people, and they all like, I was just extra. Like, it's not an actual embarrassment. Like, I love all the things that I did. It was like, I was so extra, and they were there with it too.
We took into account what role fashion plays in promoting self-respect and happiness.
Self-respect is, to me at least, marching to the beat of your own drum. Like, I've always blurred the lines of, like, masculine, feminine fashion. Like, it started out in high school, I wore women's jeans because they didn't make skinny jeans yet, you know? But I felt like I've always, like, slightly carried it as a man still. And I love that. So, like, that's, like, confidence to me with fashion. I feel like if you're not doing it, then you don't have the spark of happiness, right? So, and the way that you learn that is you lose it periodically. Yeah. I mean, sometimes shit happens in life. Right. Like, I haven't dressed up in, like, months. You know, or like, you just like, I feel like some people are like, oh, there's nothing to wear in my closet, or like,
Whereas they have like a whole tons of stuff in the
exactly.
closet.
Exactly.
Yes.
But like, you get lost in it, and then you like wake back up again, and your closet, you're like, oh shit, I should wear like that.
Yeah, right. One of my favorite questions of the interview is this. Take a listen.
Okay, what item of clothing would you say as a child or as an adult that really meant something to you?
It's funny. I ask people that question most of the time. Most of the time people don't ask me. Yeah. There was a shirt that I had as a child that had a dinosaur on it. And there was also a shirt that had constellations, like planets, and it was glow in the dark. And I'm talking about both of these items of clothing right now because I started singing opera when I was very young, when I was 7 years old.
Wow.
And since then, I was always in an artistic environment, always in a creative expression environment. But there's always been this part of me that's been a scientist. And I remember loving those items of clothing and wanting to be a paleontologist or an oceanographer as a child, but having this creative career. And now I get to be a designer that works with neuroscientists and psychologists on emotions research.
Wow.
And so these items of clothing are very symbolic for me, for a part of me that I felt like I wasn't able to express at that time.
Wow.
Yeah.
We explored further by finding answer to what authentic dressing is all about. Take a listen.
So what have you learned from dressing authentically?
Well, authenticity is something we have to decide for ourselves. The way that we want to express ourselves, if we ask ourselves, how do I be authentic in the way that I'm dressing, which I think so many of us already are asking that question, we're already in a process of dressing authentically. So it really depends on who you are, but I think the question is the most important thing. We can either dress for others or we can dress for ourselves. And asking yourself, what is authentic to me? And then letting your eyes and your fingers kind of choose the things that you're going to wear based on that question is already wonderful.
It's been well documented that clothing is an essential part of our life, Whereas clothing serves as a means of communication to some people, it all depends on the part of the world that you are. And to some people, it's a way of conveying what they feel on the inside. One special question that we ask one of our guests is why they chose clothing as a means of conveying a certain information. Please listen.
To know this, why was clothing a medium of conveying your message and as an essential tool of this experience?
Yeah, I think it's the same reason, to a certain degree, that Fashion Utopia exists as a podcast. It's because clothing is such a strong, such a strong relationship with how we express ourselves.
Right.
That relationship with how we feel about ourselves, and also the relationship and how we want to be perceived and how we want to be identified. And so, no matter what your identity or expression, no matter where you are on the spectrum, if you ask someone, like if we asked your listeners now to think about the item of clothing that was the first item of clothing that they ever chose in their own life, so not what their parents gave them or their caretakers gave them to wear, but what was the first item that meant something to you? I think if we think about it, we can all think about one item. Maybe it was like a snowsuit that we had when we were 5 years old. Maybe it was maybe not if you're from Nigeria. maybe it was a dress that we didn't want to wear. Maybe it was a hat that we wore to disguise our hair. Because our parents wouldn't let us cut it, right? There's all these items of clothing that have this emotional symbol for us. And by talking about these items of clothing, it's very relatable. So even if it's not an item of clothing that you would wear, by putting it on and seeing yourself transform and hearing this person tell a story about how this item of clothing meant this thing for them can be really powerful. And that's why we chose clothing.
In one of our episodes, we looked at a fundamental topic that is in the center of conversations nowadays. So we looked at the power of being different and how we are all interconnected. Please listen. In the words of a wonderful friend, John Lackey, "I used to think being different was bad, but being different can have advantage. It makes you stand out for whatever reason it is. And only you know what makes you different. It makes you an essential element or ingredient to the society. Take for instance, if you look at the car, it is just a car, right? With many components that make it function properly. You have the tires, the engines, mirrors, steering wheel, the chairs, all different parts of car. They are all unique but needed to make the car function properly and efficiently. That is how we are in the society. Being different has an advantage. Whether you are different because of the color of your skin, orientation, race, nationality, gender, and any other elements that makes you stand out. Being different is a blessing in disguise. It is often hard to understand because of the baggage it brings. May it be pleasant or unpleasant. But when fully understood and embraced, it is a magical feeling that transcends us to a utopia of deep creativity and happiness. All spoken and written words have deep meaning depending on the context. And sometimes we don't pay detailed attention to the words we use. Do you want to be in a good place or no place? I realized the words E-U-T-O-P-I-A, utopia, means the good place, which differs from U-T-O-P-I-A, utopia, no place. Both are imaginary heaven we create, but only one can be actualized. Do you want to be in an utopia, a paradise that is realistically possible, or utopia, a heaven that is only a dream?
the choice is yours to make.
We asked one of our guests to elaborate on how he created, you know, something that is so powerful, life-changing, and had an immense experience in the life of people. Please listen.
Could you take us through the adventure of creating Playground of Empathy?
Yeah. So Playground of Empathy is trying to answer the question, how do we design spaces that allow us to be more empathic as individuals and create more empathy for our communities, our colleagues, our friends, our family, by really understanding that our differences are something that are normal and to be celebrated. And Playground of Empathy's experience that also you experienced,
right,
is called the Walk in My Shoes experience, right? And
yes.
So on the outside, it's a giant sparkly shoe. It's 8.5 feet tall and 9 feet long, and it's sparkly and big. On the inside, it's like this walk-in closet where you get to see what it's like to walk in the shoes of a different gender identity, of a different race, of a different socioeconomic background or age.
Right.
And by putting on items of clothing that belong to this individual and seeing yourself transform in a mirror, almost like you're in this walk-in closet. Like, imagine that you're walking into someone else's walk-in closet.
Right.
And you're trying on their items of clothing. But as you're in there, you're hearing stories from their voice that are telling you why this item of clothing represents vulnerability for them,
wow,
why it represents confidence or defiance through the lens of their race or through the lens of their gender.
Uh-huh.
And by hearing these stories while you're putting on their clothing, you're really feeling this transformation happening. And then the mirror becomes a movie screen, and you get to see these point of view perspective films that are reenactments of real moments in their life. So not only are you wearing their clothing, but you're also interacting in the way that they have to, in the way that society is asking them to every day, just based on how they express themselves,
right,
physically. And in between these films, you're asked, what would you say in that situation? Or how did that make you feel? Where did you feel that in your body? Questions like that.
Hmm.
And so through these interactions, you're really learning how to see things from their perspective, and therefore how to get outside of your own perspective and become more empathic in the way that you communicate with yourself and with others.
We cannot conclude the conversation without talking about the triple bottom line, talk sustainability. Please listen.
Yeah, so when people are in the continuous process of self rediscovery and actualization, how can they embrace a sustainable fashion?
That's such a huge challenge, and it's such an important question. I think it's really one of the central questions of our time. You know, and I won't go over the statistics of waste and the industry of fashion. I would recommend watching Patriot Act on Netflix if you have access to it. There's an episode on fast fashion, which I think sums it up really, really well.
Sure.
To answer your question, I think that it's really important to know how to make choices with items that you're going to feel good having for many, many years. And to really educate yourself about what fast fashion is doing to us as a society, and to really be conscious of who you're complimenting for what they're wearing, which is a really tricky thing because we want to be supportive of our friends, and nobody wants to walk around telling people that they shouldn't buy things from H&M, Zara, or Topshop. And at the same time, when we're doing that, it's a tragedy of the commons. When we're doing that, we're creating a world that we do not want to be living in, that we don't want to be raising children in. And so the solution, I think, is subtle. And it has to do with starting to look at really where things are coming from and be able to learn how to engage people in dialogues and ask questions that allow them to also think about the purchases that they're making. When you're buying local, it's really good to understand where the fabrics are
coming from. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not an easy battle.
Mm-mm,
It's not easy to make good choices. So I think, you know, there was a statistic that I heard recently that if you hold on to an item for 6 months longer than you would normally, and if everybody in America did that, that would all already have a gigantic impact on the amount of oil that is used in the country. I'm sorry, I don't have the specific numbers next to me, but you can also watch that episode of Patriot Act.
Right.
So what I'm saying is it's not only a matter of, you know, I don't shop at fast fashion industries. I try to really avoid it as much as possible. However, if you're going to buy an H&M piece, buy it at a thrift shop.
Right.
Right? If you're going to buy an H&M piece new, hold on to it for 2 years instead of for 6 months.
Right.
These things make a huge impact.
It does.
Yeah.
Of really wanting clothing to be sustainable, and that word doesn't really mean anything. What does that word mean? But
right.
things that are biodegradable, you throw them away,
right.
they turn back
right.
to the earth, you know,
right.
as a base.
At least you want to, like, you know, contribute back to the, you know, to,
mm-hmm.
to earth.
Yeah, and I think I you know, fashion, I would love to be a place where innovative scientists are doing research to figure out how to make clothing and leathers out of fish scales, which
right.
are a waste material, out of
right.
Pineapple fibers, which people are
right.
already starting to do. And
wow.
I just think we need more research and more emphasis on this. And I think in my utopia, we would just have these amazing plant-based materials.
Oh my God, amazing.
Yeah.
Oh.
With each and every guest, we continue the conversation. What is your fashion utopia? Please listen.
From like my days in New York City, fashion utopia is dressing up for anything and everything. And I think everybody, when you say like dressing up, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be in like heels and stuff. Like, you just, like, that's fashion, you know? And like, killing with like, it's Balenciaga. Like, if you're going to like be here, then at least like show that you put thought into it.
Yes.
Like,
my fashion utopia. So, something that I like to do sometimes when I'm giving talks or speeches is I ask everyone to close their eyes and think about the future that they want to live in. Think about their personal version of an ideal future that gets created by us all doing the work that means the most to us and that's going to be the best for the world that they want to live in. Mm. And when I ask people to close their eyes and think about that, I ask them, how are people looking at each other in this future? How are people treating each other? What is the expression on people's faces? And so I think my fashion utopia doesn't have a set of colors or a set of patterns in particular. It has people who are really seeing each other, who are really understanding that all the different variant choices that people are making are wonderful and that they're wonderful because they're different. It's a utopia where the expressions on people's faces are ones of acceptance and joy, which is the embodiment of all emotions, and that all of those emotions are embracing the person that we've decided to be on that particular day, the identity that we feel and the way we're choosing to express that identity. People accepting that and embracing that is already a fashion utopia for me.
It's been a great year having this conversation with all of you. I am more than happy. I am so glad that we are having this conversation on fashion psychology, how what we wear shapes the way we feel, you know, and how we act. We will be coming back in spring 2020 with our season 2 of Fashion Utopia, using fashion and psychology to help people attain self-actualization. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope you will drop your comments, your reviews, and share, you know, with your friends what you've learned about fashion psychology. We will be back soon. Please keep on the look for more content to come in spring 2020. With better information, with cutting-edge artists and experts in the industries. We are so grateful. Thank you so much. Special thanks to Anchor for giving us this platform to get this content available to you. Our wonderful friend Sean Barclay, John Lucky, and Tamik, Fielding Pierce, Michael Castle, for all their wonderful contributions and invaluable thoughts and knowledge that they've shared with us. For more information about this podcast, you can get us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Google Cast, anywhere you get your podcast. And also, you can visit us on www.iemaimageconsulting.com for more information. If you have anyone you would like to be on the season 2 of this podcast, please send the email of the person, send the information to my Facebook page, Kelly Dowd, or you can reach me at IEMA Image Consulting on Facebook, and also you can send me an email on at kelly@iemaimageconsulting.com. Thank you so much.